So that's what happens between us as human beings is what develops our human reaction to the rest of the world. And the Holy Spirit is allowed to be that powerful force that brings us to that. He guides and directs all that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Because I'm not sure that some of you agree with me this morning. I'm looking out there, and I see those of you that said, well, you can talk about this small group, Matt, till the cows come home, but I'm not interested. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to give you God's word, and you can go home and argue with him. Matthew 28. We're right down to the tail end of Matthew. In fact, the last two verses, 19 and 20. Wash your ears out with this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, that means I got to talk to different nationalities? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Wow, that means I got to take the whole book with me, Lord? The whole book? Teaching them to observe all things that I have. It's all in there. Uh-oh. I got to take the whole book. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, you didn't hear your name called? He didn't call you by name? Holy Spirit, call him by name if you would, please. So they know that they're on the same page with the rest of us. As Christians, you are stuck. You catch that? Teach them. Matt, I can't even teach myself anything. How am I going to teach somebody else? By your example. You don't need to say a word. You don't need to be linguistic perfect. I mean, I prove that. I don't even speak English good. Somebody said, Matt, how many languages do you speak? I says, one sort of. Harry says, I speak hillbilly, but I don't know about that. But anyway. Yeah. And you know what? The Lord is going to have them hear what he wants them to hear from you. All he wants is a willing vessel to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. You don't have to be fancy and flowery. Somebody says, well, I don't know. It'll take me a week to clean the house good enough to have anybody stop me. They ain't coming to see your house. They're not coming to see your house. I got to tell you about that wife of mine. We move off of Rocky Boy, right? Nice, peaceful reservation up there. Brought me back to Belt. And she decides, hey, I'm going to have a Bible class in my kitchen. And we just moved in. I mean, we got boxes to the ceiling. There ain't enough room. She's got 1 square foot washed. And on Sunday, she announced a Bible study in my house Tuesday morning, 9:30. And we're in the car pulling out of here. And I says to her, I says, whose house are you having this in? Ours. I mean, it was solid boxes. Come Tuesday morning, the ceiling was washed, the table was... Dozen women show up. Oh, wow. Whose decision was this to have the Bible study? I got a feeling God was involved somewhere along the line here. I really do. And you know what? He did sustain me through it. 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Still going on. Do the women have fun? Oh, yeah. They have fun because I leave. One thing you got to realize, if you got a Bible study in your house and it's women... You say, ladies, do you need anything? And they look at you, say, bye, and exit, stage right. No. Turn with me to another scripture that'll put some legs to this. Let's put John 13. 13th chapter of John. He talks to us, little children, I shall be with you a little longer. As he's telling them before he leaves. But this is what he tells us. I'm beginning in verse 34. Okay, so I'm in the 13th chapter of John, and I'll begin at verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. No ifs, ands, or buts. As I have loved you, and you also love one another."
Wow!
"I give to you that you love one another." And then he says it again, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." He says it twice to make sure we heard it. "By this all will know" what? "That you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Three times he commands us to love one another. You know, folks, that we're looked at for the love that we share. We might want to say, okay, hey, we've got the best circle drive in Belt, Montana. We got the fanciest building. We just got everything here. No. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. My point is, in sharing our home and sharing the church here, it's not the building, it's not the fixtures. And maybe it's not even how many Bible studies we have. Because you know, you can become very literate in the Word. I know people that can, you can start to talk about something in the Bible, he'll tell you right to the page, verse, everything else about it, but he doesn't know Jesus from the man in the moon. But he's got the scripture in his head, but it hasn't gotten from here to here. You know, that 18 inches is a long ways from your head to your heart, where you learn to love. You know, as we work together as groups, and as we work together, two or more gather together, it says, we share each other's burdens. And that's what it's about. Francis Schaeffer has a quote I want to share with you. And I'll read it to you since I didn't memorize. It says, "Our relationship with each other is a criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful, and the Christian community is the final review." So that's the final review, is if our message is truthful to our non-believing friends or family or co-workers or neighbors or watching and deciding on the validity of the gospel message. We need others to help us live our lives worthy of God's calling so that people will see the power of God's love in and through us. It starts as individuals, and then when it is shared, what happens? It spreads. It spreads. You can't contain it. So ultimately, when we look at small groups as a way of living, it's a way of living that of purpose. This doesn't happen by accident. Both as individuals, as collectively, as believers in this church, our sharing our love and our sharing the Lord Jesus Christ is a purpose. And we share it because we stand in total awe of God's grace and love that he has for us. You know, when a small group, you say, okay, we've got a small group. I've got, let's say we got 7 or 8 coming, and we're sharing the love of Jesus. And they all go home, right? You're dealing with 5 families, 4 families, 6 families. And they all take that love out of that small group, and they go home. What happens to it? It's shared. It's shared. That small group shares. And as we share within the group itself, as we're praying, adding stability, as the comforter comes and comforts them, they're able to pass that comfort on. And maybe it's financially. Maybe they come and they say, hey, Matt, we're just devastated. What's happening? And pass the hat and, hey, send them home with some bucks so they can put gas in the car, get to work. Jesus laid the foundation for the church, and we're still here. All we need to do is to take a look what he did and do it. Take the brain knowledge we have, take it to our heart, and let it
let it go out. Last scripture for reading, Mark. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now here he's explaining what happens to folks, and it's really easy to have happen, depending on how much hype and all that other stuff is going on when it happens, or the people or individuals involved. But this is what Jesus shared with us. And he shared it with his disciples first, but this was his explanation to them. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so there was more than just his disciples, there was the crew that was with him, asked about the parable. This is the parable of the sower. Mark and I was talking about that this morning, that if we don't put seed in the ground, we're not going to get a crop. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." So when you come into the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden there's some understanding comes with it. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan..." Oh, wow. Satan's involved here. "Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." We see it happen. "Those likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness." You've seen people come to the Lord just excited. "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises," you know Satan's going to bring it, "for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns, that are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of the riches, and the desires of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Wow. So as we work together, as people in your groups come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they have an accountability. Not only that, you're accountable. You're accountable to continue to feed them. To continue, you know what their problems are. You know what's going on. You know what to pray for. You know when to go visit. You know the help that they need. It isn't out here in cyberspace someplace. It's right here. It's right here. You got your finger on it. No, this is where I call it a working relationship with God. And that, as you have that working relationship with God, he quickens you to have the working relationship with your community, with your neighbors next door, maybe in your own family. Man, you mean you're going to talk to your own kids? Yeah, I remember some conversation with my kids. The wife and I are blessed with four. I always said she did a real good job of raising them. I was raised hillbilly style. She was raised where daddy says, "Oh, honey, you're okay." And I never heard the word honey or I love you or none of that stuff. But I understood what a size 8 cowboy boot and a lariat could do. So it all depends how you're raised and where you're coming from. But then to communicate with your kids, to be able to drive that relationship, to be able to talk to them. And now we're talking to our grandkids. Oh, that's fun. Well, you know, you get to stir them up really good, then you send them home. Now, let me encourage you. Have your neighbor over for coffee. If you know they're having a tough time, hey, make up a pot of soup and take it over and say, "Hey, when you're done, bring the pot back." Maybe even when you're making up cinnamon rolls, make an extra batch. Take them over. Ask them if they got any coffee. That's Matt's approach. The wife says, "No, I'm supposed to call first, make an appointment," all them things. She was raised more sophisticated than I was. But let me encourage you this morning. Just encourage you to share the love that Jesus has shared with you. whether it's through actions, but whatever it is, maybe it's through singing. I know that Phyllis and that group go around. I mean, when I go around in nursing homes, they say, "Yep, Phyllis was here yesterday." I says, "She was? Yeah, she was singing again." You know, I mean, that's love. That's love. That's sharing. That's filling the void that these folks need to fill in that gap that they're looking for. So let me encourage you, if you haven't gotten involved in a small group, if you want to know anything about small group, I'm not an expert, though I come exposed. And Bonnie's more on detail. But we've got probably a dozen different studies that if you wanted to actually use a can type of thing to get started or whatever, if you don't feel comfortable with just jumping into the Word, we can help you with. More than happy to work with you. That's why we're here. And this is fun. This is fun. You just got to get in there and stir the pot. Get involved. Get involved with your neighbor. Through love. Through that real love. Don't just drive down the street and see him out in the yard and wave and keep going. Pull the car over, push the button, roll down the window. Start a dialogue. What are you doing later this afternoon? You got time for a cup of coffee, tea, whatever. Share the love of Jesus with them. You don't have to drag out the Bible and thump them with it. He just witnessed it. I mean, when he saw you pull over and roll down the window, he's ready to pass out. What, are they sick? They're willing to give 30 seconds to say hi to me and see and tell me, "Hey, my yard looks good." No. Don't take $1 million. Money isn't the issue. And if money was an issue, God's got cattle on 1,000 hills, folks. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to step out. Give up some of the world and share Jesus with someone this week. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your presence here with us. We just ask, Lord, that you'd quicken our hearts. Give us the strength we need to get your work done. And we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.